You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.
Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always fell upon, if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte.
And I'm Father Jim Evans.
Welcome to Mary's Touch, the show that brings you real-life stories of Mary's love. You're listening to and learning about Mary, the mother of Jesus. We're going to visit with Alfredo Navarez and get his side of the story. You're probably asking yourself, what side of what story? Well, last week, we spoke with Alfredo's wife, Susan, and we talked about their courtship. We know there are two sides to every story, so this week, it's Alfredo's turn.
Well, Sherry, let's welcome Alfredo. And what we're trying to realize is that while our journey is difficult and we often find ourselves lost, God never gives up on us. And we have quite a journey, each and every one of us, and some of those journeys we just can't even imagine. And Alfredo is one of those.
All right. Well, let's welcome Alfredo to Mary's Touch. Hi, Alfredo. It's Sherry and Father Jim.
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Father Jim. How are y'all today?
Good, thank you.
We are doing well. And last week we listened to Susan's story, and we thought we wanted to give you equal time, so to speak.
Well, great. We're equally yoked.
There you go. Well, and I thought that people, when you say yoked, that means together. So let's talk about how you and Susan got together, and perhaps you could start with your situation before you actually met Susan, because I think that's pretty important in this story.
Sure. So I was married for almost 11 years and the proud father of five lovely little girls who are hopefully behaving themselves right now. and it was interesting because that marriage, while not a sacramental marriage, did do something for me that I'll always be in debt to the girl's mother for the rest of my life. And it was through meeting her, their mother, that I came back to the Bride of Christ, our Catholic Church. You know, but you know, I won't go into the details of that because that's not, I'll be here all day. But, you know, things happen and she left me actually on Holy Thursday of Holy Week. And it was, you know, a difficult time for me and obviously for my daughters. But, you know, God saw us through it. My wonderful friends from my Catholic community, you know, we prayed many a rosary and, you know, had many healing prayers. And it was a time that I recall, you know, just grasping and clawing and and doing everything I could to hold on to Jesus during that time. But then, you know, a couple of years later, I met this lovely young lady, who's now my wife, Susan. And our initial meetings were interesting, our initial dates.
Now, when anybody uses that word interesting, you know, I always go, okay, what do you mean by that?
Well, our first date was we went to Mass together, and then we went to a little function for some mutual friends of ours. It was a birthday party. And that was the other interesting thing is while Susan and I had a lot of mutual friends, she and I had never actually met. But this was our first time that we actually met and spoke to one another, was on our first date. And so we did that, and there seemed to be a bit of a connection there, so we continued dating. But one of the things that I didn't understand fully at the time was, you know, I said, this lovely young lady, and she's a very talented musician, as I think you probably know as well, but there was some hurt in her that I could see as well. And as we got closer and spent more time together, you know, I started realizing that she had just a lot of hurt from some things that had happened to her, you know, through her family. And as a result, we ended up breaking up a few times because there were things that just external influences that were weighing on her, primarily her family, because they were not wanting her to be involved with a man who was divorced and had 5 children. But unfortunately, the way that that was handled, it wasn't in the most charitable ways. So we went back and forth and we kept getting back together. And, you know, because I don't know if I mentioned to you earlier or not, but I rarely dream. While I may have these random synaptic firings, you know, I don't wake up and remember dreams. I've gone years without remembering a dream. But shortly after I started seeing Susan, I had 2 dreams within a few days of each other. And one was Susan and I praying together, and she looked up at me and said, "We are praying for our future." And the other one was she and I were following a priest who was holding a monstrance in procession, and you know, with the Blessed Sacrament. And the priest is dressed in white and gold vestments, and she and I are in white robes, and then my 5 daughters are in white robes following behind us. And you know, that one kind of spoke to me that, well, this is my path to heaven with her. But it took a little more convincing for her. And one of the painful things that happened was finally after we had broken up one other time, she wanted to get back together. And I had indicated very clearly that there were some things that had to change with respect to the relationship that she had with her family in regards to me. Because I said, I'm not going to come in and be a second-class citizen to your family. It can't be that way. But if we're going to come together, it has to be with the intention that, you know, I matter more than they did, because I should if we're serious about pursuing something more. And she agreed to that. And everything was fine for a few months, with the exception that her family completely disowned her. And it made it very difficult. So long story short, she ended the relationship with me. And while the previous time I had been very hurt, this time I was actually very upset, very angry, or in my estimation, allowing myself to be opened that way after I'd seen what happened before, and also allowing my daughters to get close to her. So we were apart for 14 months. And during that time, I went out with various other, you know, women. I mean, all nice Catholic women, but all I ever thought about was, they're not Susan. They're not Susan. And I kept, you know, I couldn't break myself of that. And also I had a lot of bitterness. I wasn't bitter towards her after a couple of weeks. I was initially, as you can imagine. But I was very bitter towards her family. Very bitter. And I don't like being that way. So I would try to pray for them, and I would find myself not being able to. Or if I did so, I would do it, you know, the words were there, but the intention was not. And then I was asked by a friend of mine, who you may know, Drew Mariani. He had told me about Our Lady of Good Help up in Wisconsin and had encouraged me to go on pilgrimage there. Well, God being an awesome God, everything fell into place perfectly. I was able to go up there and took my 5 daughters, and we went on pilgrimage for almost 2 weeks. And hit about 7 different lines, all with the intention of going to Our Lady of Good Help. But I will say, Sherry and Father, that it was during that pilgrimage that it was the first time that I was able to pray for Susan's family and actually mean it. And when I got to Our Lady of Good Help, I felt her calling me the entire time, calling me. And when I got there, I was kneeling, I was praying my intentions. And I kind of just opened myself to the Blessed Mother, and I asked her, I go, "Mary, I know you've been calling me. I want to know why." And, you know, I didn't really get anything. So I came back a couple days later to Our Lady of Good Help and again prayed my intentions, prayed everything. And I just, you know, was begging her. I was like, "Holy Mary, I know that you called me. I have felt your pull this entire time, and I'm here. Why have you called me?" And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to get this grand edict from on high telling me this is your mission in life and this is what you're going to do. And so I'm just waiting. But very gently, she just told me, she goes, this pilgrimage was my gift to you and to your daughters so that you could have this time. And it was very humbling. But it also opened a door of grace for me that I had not had before. And I'm sure, as Susan shared with you, during that same week that I was doing this pilgrimage, she was at a healing retreat, basically trying to deal with some of the issues that, you know, we all have in different ways in our brokenness. And that was an opening of grace for her. And then over the next couple of months, basically, Susan's name and picture started appearing everywhere for me. You know, mutual friends of ours would all of a sudden start mentioning her. A friend of mine, Susan, as I mentioned, she's a musician, and she had been part of a calendar shoot of different musicians. And so, you know, her picture was on this calendar, and I go over to a friend of mine's house, and my calendar is up on her wall. I'm like, oh, great. You know, here's Susan's picture right here on this wall. Very nice. And even my phone got involved. I had a, my phone would sit there and sort my contacts by who I contact the most. So whoever I call the most or text the most would always be at the top so that they're easy, you know, they're easy to retrieve. Well, all of a sudden, her name got locked at the top, and I couldn't move it because it's not a setting that I can control on my phone. It just does it automatically. And so it was kind of frustrating to me because I'm like, every time I make a call, every time I pick up my phone, I see her name right there. And so after all this is done, I guess I couldn't take a hint. So I'm in Mass one time and I'm praying and I'm asking God to help show me his will. And at this time I had been seeing another young lady, and we were, for the first time, I was kind of starting to have a little bit of feelings for her. Because for the other women that I had seen, while they were very nice, I never really had that connection with them. But then as I was praying in Mass, you know, the Lord told me two things. He said, the woman that you're seeing now, the reason that you have feelings for her is because she reminds you of Susan. And the second thing was, you need to contact Susan and ask her to come back to you.
Wow. I'm going to interrupt you right there and say, because we have to take a quick break, but don't sure. You know that's going to bring everyone back in just a minute or two. So stay with us. We'll be right back with Alfredo.
You're listening to Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love in our lives. Visit marystouch.org to find out how you can help support us with your prayers and your donations. Find out more about Mary and tell us your story. It's all at marystouch.org.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte. We've been broadcasting Mary's Touch for 9 years now. Each and every year, we've won a special award, from being the best Catholic radio program in North America to being the best Catholic website at marystouch.org. So visit us there, marystouch.org. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And thanks for listening every week to Mary's Touch. Welcome back. We're visiting with Alfredo and hearing a beautiful story of how he came to love Susan. Father Jim, don't you like how I don't give anything of Alfredo's story away and just keep everybody on the edge of their seats?
Oh, absolutely. And I know we're all eager to hear the rest of this and how Alfredo and the church have all come together in this great conspiracy.
Yes. So, Alfredo, continue.
I think conspiracy is a proper word here. there were things, because it was funny, because I, as I mentioned right before the break, I just felt God telling me that I had to contact Susan and ask her to come back to me. And this is not something I wanted to do, primarily because of my pride. And also, you know, because I had been hurt before, and I just didn't want to experience that hurt again. So this is on a Sunday morning that this happened at my parish, and And so I spend the rest of the afternoon debating amongst myself what I'm going to do. I mean, I know that I'm going to contact Susan, but I'm trying to figure out how that's going to happen. And so finally, I just send her, I sent her an email. You know, very, very personal. Sent her an email asking if she would be willing to meet with me. So this was on Sunday. So as I'm sure she related to you last week, on that very same weekend, he had gone to go do music ministry at this retreat. And during that retreat, she had heard the words from the Blessed Mother, because as I mentioned before, we have a lot of issues with her family and them coming between us and so forth. You know, she had been missing me and I'd been on her mind. And she's at this retreat, and the words that came to her were, "Do not worry about your mother. I will take care of your mother." And so this happened the exact same weekend that I get this revelation. I'm unaware of this at the time. So me, I'm thinking, why does God want me to do this? Because Susan made it very clear that she doesn't want to be with me. You know, hurt me very bad, made me very angry. But I know I have to do it. I know the Lord asked me to do it, and I know I'm going to do it. So as I said, I sent the email. And now I get no response. I wake up the next morning on Monday, you know, check my email, still no response. And I leave for work probably around 8:30 or 9, and still no response. And so I'm thinking, well, I guess that's my response. So as I'm at work and I'm trying to figure all this out, and I'm like, well, I know God asked me to do this. And I'm thinking, like, why? And I'm, you know, praying to God, having my conversation with my Lord. I'm like, Lord, why did you ask me to do this? And the only thing I can think of is like, well, maybe this was his way of showing me that I need to finally try to get rid of her from my psyche. Because as I said, every time I went out with somebody, all I thought about was they're not Susan. And so my only thing I could come up with throughout the day was, perhaps this was just the Lord's way of showing me that, yes, she wants nothing to do with you. She's not even going to respond to your email. So close that door.
We all need reminders that we're not in charge, Alfredo.
I know. but I was obviously incorrect. And in that afternoon, you know, I checked my email because I hadn't checked it all day, and she had responded to me and said, sure, I would love to meet. And now I'm like kind of freaking out a little bit. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I respond to her and tell her, well, how about we meet here at around this time?
Hey, Alfredo, I got a question for you. Did it ever occur to you that you were in love?
No, I knew I was in love. I knew I loved her.
Okay.
I knew I loved her. And that's why it was so painful to me.
Yeah.
And
sometimes you have to, you know, get in there, and God pushes you and nudges you and all of these nice, wonderful things. And he always says, reminder, you have to take action.
Exactly. And praise be to God, I did.
Good.
You know, because now we're married.
Yes, exactly.
But it was not easy. And, mm-hmm. And it was funny whenever we met, I'm normally not a person that's lacking for words and expressing myself and so forth. But when I met her that night, I'm talking to her and I'm fumbling around and making a spectacle of myself because I cannot get to the point. And so she stops me, you know, and just says, "Look, this is what's been going on with me." And she shares with me what she shared with you last week and all the things that led up to this. And then that allowed me to finish what I needed to say, that I think we should come back together. And by God's grace, we did.
You know what I think would be interesting, too, because I know when you got married, you were kind enough to send us a picture. And it reminded me of the dream that you had, because there she was in white, and you and your girls were there. And I thought, and it was kind of like, and all is well.
Amen.
And the Blessed Amen. Mother was definitely there amongst you and helping you. And I think it's very important that we point out to our listening audience that you mentioned that, you know, you did not, your first marriage was not a sacramental marriage. That was not blessed by the church. And also that this was one of those situations in which when you were going to come together with a woman into a blessed sacramental marriage, you go through the process within the church called the annulment process.
Correct.
Which is misunderstood by the majority of people on this earth, and even amongst Catholics, it's one of those things they sort of avoid thinking about real hard. But in reality, it's a blessing to come together and understand who you are, what you are about, what the first marriage or lack of first marriage was really all about, and how you come into the good relationship with our Lord, and the Holy Family leads you and guides you and takes you into the realm of the blessed marriage, the sacramental role that the church plays. And, you know, the church is the bride of Christ, and that's obviously what you're looking for, the real bride. So I just had to get in there a plug for the church's method, because the method is kind and considerate. And
what do you mean when you say that it's kind and considerate? Tell us, because just the word annulment means, you know, with it, that meaning, that is not something that's usually kind.
Well, it means that something was lacking.
Okay.
Something was not there that made it truly, it didn't fit the definition of a true marriage.
Okay.
And there are many parts of the definition. One of them is that both parties have the intention that it lasts forever. And sometimes we find out pretty quickly that one or sometimes both of the parties felt that this could be ended at any time if they didn't like something.
Okay.
And, of course, the church doesn't see it that way. We see it as something where you come together for better or for worse until life ends.
Right.
And so anyhow, all of these things are topic for another program, but in this case, I think it helped Alfredo. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Alfredo, but it seems to me that it certainly opened your eyes and your heart to coming into a special relationship with a lady who was devout and devoted, and you wanted to enter into a blessed thing, which is the definition of a sacrament.
Yes, correct, Father. And I will say, you know, the annulment process, and you are 100% correct, is so misunderstood, even among pretty devout Catholics, just because they haven't had to go through it. And I did have to go through it. And what I will say is, while it was not pleasant, because you had to go, you know, when I was done, I had filled in 42 pages of responses to the questions that I was asked, you know, as part of the annulment process.
Mm-hmm.
But what it really helped me to do was whenever my first marriage ended and my wife at the time left me, I placed 99.999% of the blame on her. And, you know, I said, well, she is the one who did this, blah, 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 blah. But when I went through the annulment process, you know, I would do it in the evening after I put my daughters to bed. And I would go up into my room, and I would pray first before I started. I would pray, and then I'd say, Lord, please help me to be objective and help me to respond in the way that, you know, is fitting. Mm-hmm. And so as a part of this, it really helped me to do two things that I think were absolutely necessary. One, to see my role in what happened, and to see my fault and what led up to this as well. Yeah, and also to forgive her, which I would not have been so easy and quick to do had I not gone through that process. It really allowed me to forgive her, and now actually we have a fairly cordial relationship. I mean, we you know she's still, while I have primary custody of our daughters, she's still quite involved. I mean, she sees them very often, and we do a lot of things together, you know, because I want the girls to have their mother in their life.
Obviously. Sure, mm-hmm. Sure.
And
well, and you know, one thing that you mentioned during your story that I thought you said that with Susan is that you didn't like her family, but you prayed for them. And I immediately thought of you said, well, it just didn't mean anything to begin with, but you say it enough until you believe it. And I don't know, Father, what do you think of that?
Well, I think that Alfredo is looking for those two of the biggest questions in everyone's life. The first one being, who am I? And the other one being, who is God? And as we come to know who we are, we realize we need that relationship with God. And when we develop that relationship, we get a greater understanding of God. And we realize that those two are inseparable questions. Yeah. And so Alfredo and Susan were both searching for who they were and finding God in the midst of the process and seeking the help of the Holy Family to bring the whole thing into deeper meaning and to incorporate it into their relationship and into their lives. And as they do that, my goodness gracious, the whole world explodes. Wow. It's called love.
Yes, and isn't it wonderful? And Alfredo, we're running out of time, so we're going to have to thank you for your story and for being so honest with us. And then, Father, as you said, learning who you are and then learning about God and when you find Him, how that changes not only your life, but the life of the one you love, too. And when both of those go together, we have a wham-kazam kind of thing.
So Amen. Very true. So very true. And the greatest matchmaker in the world is when Mother Mary introduces us to her son. Then all relationships fall into their proper place.
Amen. Thank you, Father. That's so good. And Alfredo, thank you for being with us. We have a few announcements we have to make for Mary's Touch, and that's to remind everyone that we have a prayer ministry and to send your prayers to marystouch.org. We take your requests to our Adoration Chapel and pray for each individual request. And while you're there, giving us your prayer request, also remember to follow us and to tweet us and to let Mary's Touch become a part of your life. Like Alfredo, she said, here was my phone and Susan's name kept coming to the top no matter what. Have Mary's Touch, have Mother Mary be that in your life. Oh, thank you, Alfredo. Just thank you for being, as you say, so honest and telling us your travels, like your journey and what that meant to you, and then to Susan. We really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure.
Father, would you like to give us your blessing?
Lord, we thank you for your love, and may Almighty God bless us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341991, Austin, Texas 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.
You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.